My least favorite part. So anyway, when Mai asked me to lead, I had a moment of weakness and I said yes. And it was sort of like, God, I've got to be a service. I got to be a service. Yeah, service is good, right? And I was also on vacation when she called me, so probably my defenses were down. Anyway, so I just wanted to say a little bit, I've been rehearsing this in my mind for several days, which is really scary because then it gets really obsessive. And, I had this really complicated metaphor worked out about a loaded gun and the bullet and the trigger. And I got so lost in it that I thought, this is not. No, that's okay. I was just like, okay. No, I got so lost in the metaphor, I thought this is not fucking gonna work. So, but anyway, I just wanted to say a little bit about my background. Because over the years, I've really learned that I have like a genetic predisposition to some mental illness and addiction, alcoholism mostly. And I can trace it back to my grandparents' generation and on one side back to my great grandmother, who was actually an alcoholic who committed suicide by drowning, which is a horrible way to go. But I thought it was a horrible way to go. But there was access to a canal because they ran a pub in England, and now it was right there. So anyway, I feel like that's how I started. And not knowing it, of course, at the time. My father had a nervous breakdown when I was 8, and that was very terrifying. Terrifying at that age, terrifying everything that led up to it, which is he was crying a lot and just like falling apart. And then they took him, this is in the 60s, right? So they took him away in a straitjacket, which, is kind of burned in my brain. He was hospitalized for 2 weeks at a mental health center. I remember going to visit him. We all sat out in the patio. Anyway, I think that was the first really traumatic thing in my life. And you don't know it at well, when you're a kid, you're 8 years old. I was 8 years old. You just know what you're feeling, right? Fear or whatever, shame, fear, all of the above. And so I don't so I'm trying to skip over the bad stuff, but I'm taking a lot of time on it too, because it's kind of important. So my adolescent years, I have often said that the first 19 years of my life were so difficult that I've spent the last 50 and a half years trying to fix that and repair it and get healthier. That's really how I feel. That up until age 19, and there was just so much going on. And part of what happened to me when I was 14 is I met an older woman who became my best friend. And I, at 14, I was very insecure. I was becoming a teenager. I was very insecure. And she was basically grooming me. This is the hard part to talk about because I'm still working through shame and guilt. And, it's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to think about, although I have to think about it to work through it. So anyway, she was grooming me, and I spent a summer with her and her husband in a South American country. This is between 10th and 11th grade. So I'm 15 years old, and they basically seduced me. They were very manipulative, very, oh, how do I say it? Manipulative, to where, it's like any predator. They see the weakness in the victim. And they know how to exploit it. And they knew how to flatter me and con me and crazy making. So anyway, long story short, I come home, I'm entering 11th grade, which, is totally surreal. And it's really hard. The only person I'm actually able to confide in is my mother. My mother didn't really get it. She kind of didn't get it, but she did try to understand and try to support me. So, I really, really have gratitude towards my mother for that. So I got into AA when I was 16 because I was falling apart And AA was like a source of support. And I also knew I was starting to have an alcohol problem. So, and then we moved to Northern California the day after I graduated high school. Anyway, I'm trying to get through this part. So I moved back here a year later at 18 and on my own and stayed with some friends. And after 6 months after moving back here, it's like everything just hit the fan. It's like everything I was trying to suppress, everything I was trying to manage, everything I was trying to keep under wraps just kind of exploded. And so I was having a nervous breakdown basically. And so somebody got me help and got me to Pasadena Mental Health. I started getting better. I started talking about all this stuff, and it started the process of recovery. And I don't know how I wasn't hospitalized because I think I was starting to have a psychotic break, frankly. But I wasn't hospitalized and I got some good therapy. And I started on the road to recovery, even though I'd already started it at 16 or 17. I still kept going. So I guess what I want to say is like, so it's like a substance of choice actually would be alcohol. But I'm pretty sure, but I've been sober forever and I'm not going to use that. Although when I retired recently, I thought, well, maybe I should pick up my drinking career, you know, and have some fun. I mean, I missed out on all those years. And then I thought, God damn it, that's fucked up, you know, because how long would that be fun? I don't know, maybe a day and a half. So anyway, so I started the process of recovery. And for me, it's like food is a substance that, because I can't use alcohol anymore, right? Food is my substance of choice. And I feel like the only, you know, overeating is all about trying to feel better. Feeling better, anesthetizing anxiety, pain, depression, loneliness, fear, whatever. It's all about that. And it's right there and it's legal and it's relatively cheap, you know, and you could socialize while you're eating, right? And you can eat quietly at your desk at work when nobody sees you and whatever. So I've been coming to OA since 2001, and I've had some success with weight loss a couple of times. And I actually used a program through my insurance at the time that was like a 6 or 8 week program where, you know, they educate you about nutrition. And they educate you about exercise. And it's good. It's really good to a point. And I lost 30 pounds each time. Now I took them like 15 years apart. I lost the 30 pounds, but then I gained it back within a couple of years, which is, I know, is really typical. Anyway, so what am I? So right now I'm coming to meetings. And I'm doing some reading. And one of the things that really helps me is the fellowship. Having a higher power really helps. Some of the reading and some of the things I hear at meetings, maybe I've heard them 50 billion times, but one day I hear it slightly differently. And it's like, damn, I get that now. Or I thought I got it, but now I think I do. So, whatever. So, that really helps. And I have to say, I'm not the best at working the program as it's laid out. I mean, I'm constantly working on steps 1 through 3, and I've started step 4, but I haven't finished it. And I don't know, there's like a part of me, maybe a part of all of us, that once I get to a relatively comfortable place, I don't want to mess with it, you know? I don't want to shake it up. Because I'm tired of seeing stuff. I mean, I'm tired of excavating, peeling back the onion and all that. But I know there's still more to do. There's definitely more to do. But I just feel like there's so much that's good here. So much that helps keep me sane. And I just retired like five, no, I retired 3 months ago, barely. And part of the reason I was kind of able to retire is I had friends in the program who really encouraged me, who'd come before me and said, well, you don't even have to retire. You can just think about it. You can just look into the information, right? And that was really helpful. And I was at my job for 38 years in this particular place, a university. And I just felt like I can't leave this identity. I can't leave these people. I can't leave this routine. Everything about it, I can't leave. But at the same time, I was feeling like I'm getting so stressed out. I'm not getting younger. And it was like, well, if I wait till I'm 70, which was only 7 more months, I'll get the maximum Social Security. I just thought, I can't wait that long. I mean, I know that's weird, but I gave them 5 months' notice, which was, I thought was pretty generous. And of course, they didn't, well, anyway, whatever. They didn't find a replacement till like 2 weeks before I left, but that's pretty normal. And but actually, retirement has turned out to be a lot better than I thought, partly because there's more time. And there's more time to go to meetings, frankly. I mean, not that I'm going to a billion, but sometimes I go to 2 meetings a week, which is really, I couldn't do that when I was working. You're just exhausted, you're commuting, you're getting ready for the week, make sure you have everything ready, all that stuff. So anyway, I'm really glad to be here. I feel like there's really a lot of value here. I feel like there's something else really important I was going to say. And now I can't access it because I went through all the icky stuff, and I'm just so relieved I don't have to talk about that for a while. But I have to say about the abuse, it's taken me decades to get to where I could talk about it and not just be overwhelmed and inundated with shame. It's taken so many years. And my perpetrators, very skillfully manipulated it so that it was my fault. It was because of me. And just, sociopaths. I mean, I really believe they're both, well, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I feel like they're both sociopaths. So anyway, I'm happy to be here. I'm glad to get this over with. And I'm looking forward to hearing from other people in the meeting. Thank you.